Our next speaker is Terry King, who's the chief of breast surgery here at Brigham and Women's. She's going to start by talking about contemporary management of the axilla and then tell us about the AJCC staging in the 8th edition for breast cancer. Thank you, Terry.
Thank you. Good morning. I'd like to thank the SSO for supporting this session and my co-moderators for inviting me to speak. Here is my disclosure. So as we've heard this morning, much of what we do is about balancing the risks and benefits of our treatment options for our patients. And although the management of the axilla in breast cancer used to be simple, patients who had positive nodes got dissected and patients who had negative nodes didn't, these conversations have now become much more nuanced with discussions based on the biology of the tumor, systemic therapy options, and also the operation that we perform. And so if we look at management of the axilla in 2018, this is the bird's eye view. We first start out with a determination of whether patients are clinically negative axilla or clinically positive axilla. We discuss whether primary surgery or new adjuvant therapy should be pursued, and then whether an axillary node dissection or a sentinel node biopsy is indicated. And of course, some of these decisions will depend on other clinical factors. So if we start with the clinically negative axilla, that patient undergoing primary surgery, a sentinel node biopsy is performed, and the final management of the axilla in this scenario depends on successful mapping, the disease burden that we identify, and the type of breast surgery. So I think we can all agree that sentinel node biopsy is the standard of care in clinically node-negative patients who are found to be pathologically node-negative. This was well established by the NSABP B32 trial, published almost a decade ago now, showing no difference in overall survival, disease-free survival, or local regional recurrence with sentinel node alone versus sentinel node plus axillary node dissection in node-negative patients. And if we look at the local regional recurrence first events, or even axillary failure as first events, we see very low rates of axillary failure in this node-negative cohort, 0.4%, despite the fact that the false negative rate in this study was reported as almost 10%, and we also know that 15% of these node-negative patients actually had occult mets in their sentinel node. So the first of many observations that not all microscopic disease will become clinically apparent. So if we move on to the patients that start out with a clinically negative axilla and are found to have positive sentinel lymph nodes at the time of surgery, we now manage these patients based on their nodal disease burden. Patients with three or more positive sentinel nodes should be undergoing an axillary node dissection, and patients with one or two positive nodes may be offered observation or axillary radiotherapy as an alternative to node dissection, and this is largely dictated right now by the breast procedure performed, as supported by the results of several prospective randomized trials. We now have five prospective randomized trials assessing alternatives to axillary node dissection in women who start out clinically node-negative and are found to have one to two positive nodes. Three trials randomized women to observation versus node dissection. The one that you're probably most familiar with is Z11, which included patients with both macromets and micromets. There's two European trials that included only micromets. And we have two trials that randomized patients to axillary radiotherapy versus axillary node dissection. Both of these European trials included both macro and micromets. So what are the important take-homes from this body of literature? Well, looking across the five trials, additional positive nodes were identified in the axillary node dissection arm in 27 to 38% of patients included in the trials of macromets, and additional nodes were identified in 13% of the women in the trials of micromets. Axillary recurrence rates in the node dissection arm range from 0.2% to 2%, axillary recurrence rates in the alternative treatment arm ranging from 1 to 1.7%, All studies have nice, robust follow-up, and importantly, again, no difference in axillary recurrence rates and no difference in disease-free survival or overall survival based on these alternative treatments of the axilla. Now, importantly, the majority of women in all of these studies underwent breast conservation therapy, and so as such, these results have been largely applied in women undergoing breast conservation, and this is a series of studies demonstrated how often axillary node dissection can be avoided when Z11 criteria are applied. The highest rates of avoiding axillary node dissection come from the Memorial Group, a large study of 793 patients, all meeting Z11 eligibility criteria undergoing BCT, and 84% of patients were spared an axillary node dissection. Importantly, this group also recently published their outcome data, five-year event-free survival rate of 93%, nodal recurrence rate of 1%, and no isolated axillary recurrences. So what about patients undergoing mastectomy? Well, there were a small number of patients included in these trials. I have the numbers listed for you there. Not all trials included a subset analysis by type of surgery, but those that did reported no difference. And so when can axillary node dissection be avoided with mastectomy? Well, based on the results of the International Breast Cancer Study Group trial and others, most of us do not do a node dissection for micrometastatic disease. And based on the results of AMOROS, axillary node dissection can also be avoided in favor of axillary radiotherapy when there is an indication for PMRT. So this is a strategy that our group has adopted here at the Dana-Farber. Through multidisciplinary consensus, we have elected to omit intraoperative sentinel node evaluation in patients with clinically node-negative disease undergoing upfront mastectomy if they're under the age of 60 or if they're over the age of 60 with high-risk features. And this is due to the fact that our radiation oncologists are highly likely to consider PMRT in this setting. Whereas for those patients where they are not likely to consider PMRT, we continue to perform intraoperative node evaluation and subsequent axillary node dissection. We've published our first year results using this algorithm, and we've spared approximately 80% of our node positive patients an axillary node dissection. So switching gears, what about the patient with the clinically negative axilla, whose molecular subtype perhaps pushes you towards neoadjuvant therapy? In this setting, we perform sentinel node biopsy after neoadjuvant therapy, and then subsequent management is depending on what we find in the axilla, with any positive disease warranting axillary node dissection. Of course, the advantage of doing sentinel node after neoadjuvant therapy in the clinically node-negative population is that many of these patients will actually still have node-positive disease, and this is demonstrated here in a now relatively old study from the MD Anderson group showing that in patients undergoing sentinel node first versus chemotherapy first, patients having chemotherapy first were 15 to 20% less likely to require a node dissection. What about patients with a clinically positive axilla? If these patients undergo primary surgery, axillary node dissection is indicated. This is not as common today, but there are some scenarios, such as patients with ER-positive HER2-negative disease, where there might be an uncertain need for chemotherapy, and your multidisciplinary team might ask you to take this patient to the operating first. More commonly, though, in the clinically positive axilla, we are using neoadjuvant chemotherapy in the hopes of possibly being able to offer these patients a sentinel node biopsy. But again, whether we can do sentinel node biopsy depends on response to chemotherapy, successful mapping, what we find, and clinical trial options. I want to just highlight that the data in this setting does not differentiate between BCT and mastectomy, so the same rules apply. We, of course, know the rationale for neoadjuvant chemotherapy in node-positive patients. We're seeing very high rates of nodal PCR, approaching 50% in all comers, but ranging from about 20% in our hormone receptor-positive patients to 97% in our HER2-positive patients. Strong rationale for trying to sterilize the axilla. There are now three large trials looking at the feasibility of sentinel node biopsy after pre-op therapy in women who start out clinically node-positive and convert to clinically node-negative. These studies have some minor differences in their design, but overall, the take-home message is that the false negative rate is quite variable, the lowest being 8% in the SNFNAC study, which included IHC disease as node positive. But in all three of these studies, we saw the false negative rate drop with the removal of additional sentinel nodes. Now, this is not a new phenomenon. We knew that this happened in the setting of upfront surgery as well. But the difference in this setting is that the false negative rate is consistently unacceptable when fewer than three sentinel nodes are removed. There's concern that this disease may be resistant to therapy, and so we've seen a lot of discussion about efforts to minimize the false negative rate, such as using dual tracer, including IHC nodes as positive, and other techniques such as the MARI and the TAD procedure, which are simply clipping the positive node and localizing the node at the time of the procedure. All of these techniques are simply minimizing false negative rate, though, and it's important to remember that we have limited data on local regional recurrence when axillary node dissection is not performed in this setting. One study of 70 patients from our Italian colleagues did not perform a node dissection after sentinel node, and at a median follow-up of 60 months, there were no axillary recurrences. There's also been a recent report from the Mayo Clinic of no recurrences, but a median follow-up of only 5 months. Now, as much as we want to avoid node dissection in patients that become node negative, it's also important for us to find that disease in the patients that are still node positive. So we know that patients who remain node positive after preoperative therapy have higher rates of local regional recurrence, and this does impact subsequent treatment. We do have two very important randomized trials going on right now, one through the Alliance for patients that remain sentinel node positive. They're randomized to either standard of care node dissection or no-node dissection with the incorporation of axillary radiotherapy, and one for those that convert to node negative. These patients are randomized to no regional RT versus regional RT. These trials are asking two very different questions. The first one asking, can axillary radiotherapy replace axillary node dissection in this setting? This is similar to the AMOROS trial in the upfront surgery setting. And the second asking, can response to neoadjuvant chemotherapy be used to select patients who do not need PMRT or extended nodal radiotherapy? So to summarize, in clinically node-negative patients undergoing BCT found to have macromets in one or two sentinel nodes, the systemic therapy decision has been made. Axillary node dissection is not necessary for local control and does not contribute to survival, and axillary RT or observation are equivalent options. In clinically node-negative patients undergoing mastectomy and found to have macrometastases in one or two sentinel nodes, if the systemic therapy decision has already been made, axillary radiotherapy is equivalent to node dissection when given with chest wall RT. But if your patient is not a candidate for PMRT, they should return to the operating room for node dissection. In patients having neoadjuvant chemotherapy, if they start out clinically negative, we do the sentinel node after neoadjuvant chemotherapy and perform an axillary node dissection if there is any residual disease. In patients starting out clinically positive after neoadjuvant chemotherapy, we like to offer a sentinel node if they've had a good response to neoadjuvant chemotherapy. And in our center, an axillary node dissection is still performed if less than three sentinel nodes are identified or if there's any residual nodal disease identified, unless that patient is on a clinical trial. Thank you very much.